too. How's everybody doing tonight? Are you guys good? Good to see y'all. Good to see everybody out here. We'll get everybody kind of dialed in and settled down. Y'all all excited and rambunctious tonight. Amen. All right, y'all got quiet in a hurry, man. Y'all went from 60 to zero. All right. Let everybody come on in. We'll dive in, get started. All right. Good to see everybody. Let's just come and get in a place of engaging the Lord tonight and just kind of flush everything from the day and give ourselves totally to this moment. It's one thing that the Lord's really challenged me to do more of this year is whatever the moment is, or whether I'm, you know, whatever I'm engaged in, to totally give myself to that, because I'm bad, you know, with a manufacturing background and, you know, running a business and all that, trying to always plan, you know, 3 hours ahead, 3 days ahead, 3 weeks ahead, and we let that bleed over into our spiritual life and our relational lives and all of that, and that doesn't bode well a lot of times, because we look past the moment instead of being engaged at what's in front of us. So let's come in at all times and totally give ourselves to what God's doing. So we want to dive in, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll just hit it running this morning. Nick, you want to lead us, brother? Y'all just continue to remember in your prayers, keep lifting up Jacob and Stephanie, and as they just, you know, kind of walk it out one day at a time, and just pray for them. They're doing pretty well, but you know, it's just going to just be a long process. So let's walk this journey out with them, and just really, really lift them up. Keep lifting up Brother Kenny with his heart stuff, and just be praying for him, and that God would just do some recreative stuff in there, and the doctors would have wisdom and the whole nine yards. So just be praying for those prayer requests. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts 2 tonight. Acts 2. I've been doing a lot of reading and studying lately on the first century church, which always puts you at the end of the Gospels and into the book of Acts. And so as we've, you know, just to me, seen the most beautiful picture of the first century church in our lives in the last couple weeks. You know, this is the way you do life together, is you walk through stuff like this and you give yourself to the individuals that you're doing life with and the situation and all of that. And so we've been kind of neck deep in that, and it's been challenging, but it's been glorious. And I have to say it has been glorious. And I just love to see God at work and God stirring and moving in different people's lives. So it's been awesome. In doing this study and reading and all of that stuff, I was in Acts 2 the other day, and the Lord really, verse 5 just really jumped out at me, and He started speaking to me, giving me some revelation in verse 5. And so I want us to talk about positioning ourselves properly tonight. Y'all have heard me talk a lot about our posture and how important our posture is before the Lord. We come in, and I'll be honest with you, posture can either make you or break you. You can come in and properly, you can be positioned proper, but not properly postured, and you will not encounter God. God will resist you, and He will not pour into your life if you're not postured properly. And what I mean by posture is, you know, are we open? Are we in receiving mode? Are we in a place where we're engaged? Are we just kind of coming in with a... Y'all know what I'm talking about. You can come in and you can be there but not be there. Or you can be there and have a bad attitude. How many of y'all done something out of duty and had a bad attitude and did it? And boy, you did what you were supposed to do. You know, you dotted your I and crossed your T and all of that stuff, but your attitude was like, dude, you've been better off not to even come. You know, I've had people that, they're like that in church and they're like that in different, events and different things like that. And our posture is crucial, for how we, engage God and how we receive from God. But with that being said, I think our positioning is equally important because we can be postured properly, but not in the right position. And when we are not in the right position, we will either have a delay in God coming and meeting and ministering to us, or a total miss. And I'm going to contrast some things so that y'all get this in a minute. But I was reading this scripture in Acts 2, and let's just read. I'm going to read King James, but I really want to go over to the Passion Translation. Me and Lori have really been enjoying the Passion Translation. The first I heard of it was Bill Johnson and out at Bethel, and they used the Passion Translation, and now Hope Chapel in South Carolina has picked up on it, and Damon and them use it a lot. But they are just really, really good translations. I know Lori's bought about all of them, and I know Cindy Hardy's bought a bunch, so I just encourage you to get these. You can buy just the individual books. You know, like this has got Luke and Acts together. You can buy these. You can Song of Solomon. I mean, just all of them are through there, and just you know, just start kind of picking them up. But it's a very good translation, so I want to encourage you on that. So I want to read out of that as well. But I want to start, and we'll read out of King James to begin with. Acts 2, verse 1. Jesus has been crucified. He's been resurrected. He has ascended up into heaven. He told the disciples to go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And so they went and they were in an upper room. We know then reading the story that, there were 120, that had, been there for 10 days fasting and praying and seeking God and all of this stuff. And so they were, totally engaged, totally giving themselves to the moment. And this is where we are. We're picking up in Acts 2. Verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Verse 5, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine." This is the story of Pentecost. This is the story of the first infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit since the resurrection of Christ. And so, you know, we could spend just countless hours studying and tearing apart Pentecost and what it was and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all of these things. But I want to focus tonight on verse 5 and talk about something. I love the dynamic of this that God began to show me and teach me. I'm going to turn over into the Passion Translation and not read all of it, but I want to just read verse 5. It says, "Now at that time there were Jewish worshipers who had immigrated from many different lands to live in Jerusalem. When the people of the city heard the roaring sound, crowds came running to where it was coming from, stunned over what was happening, because each one could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language." And then it goes on and talks about all the languages and all of that. What was going on here, we get the story of the disciples. We get the story of the followers of Jesus the 120 that went and they stayed in the upper room. They waited for the promise that Jesus had spoken to them. They had been, they had been engaged with Christ on many different levels during His earthly ministry, His 3 years of earthly ministry, and all. But I don't want to look at that at the storyline. I want to look at all of these others that came in after the fact. And the key to them coming in after the fact, if you read on, and we won't go there tonight because of the length of it, but if you read on, there wind up being, let's see, 3,000 or 4,000 right here that got saved. It was 3,000 people got saved after Peter started speaking and preaching and declaring what was happening and the gospel of Christ. So I want to look at not necessarily the 120 that received what we know is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, but I want to look at the other 3,000 that their lives were radically changed and they came to know Christ in that moment. And the whole reason that this happened to them is because how they were properly positioned. Now, as you look in this, and historians agree that, and I love Dr. Simmons' translation in the Passion, is these guys were coming in, and these people had moved to Jerusalem to not be disciples of Christ, but to follow in their Jewish faith and in the hopes that the Messiah would come. So you get this. These people came and followed their faith, their Jewish faith. That was the whole reason they were at Jerusalem. They weren't there because it was a bustling city. They weren't there for economic reasons. They weren't there for cultural reasons. Oh, that'd be a cool place to live and all that. They went because it was the religious center of the Jewish faith. That's why they went. Think about how many crusades have been fought over Jerusalem. Think about the bloodshed over Jerusalem. You know, and these guys came and they uprooted their lives. And they moved there because they wanted to be in the proximity of their faith and the hope and anticipation of what could happen and could come. So I want you to think about it. Start wrapping your head around that, guys. We know people that have done this. We've seen people that have done this. Most of us didn't. We come to Victory Fellowship because we live in the area. Some of you guys commute further. We have people that come from Hiram and different places like that. You know, T.W. and Jamie, they live over in New Georgia. And Nick Amanda and Marvin, they live out further. And we've got people that commute in and all of that stuff. But typically, we're a people that we're going to go to church where it is convenient for our life, somewhat convenient for our life. I mean, you get thinking about going, you know, a long distance. Man, that's too far. You know, drive an hour for church or 2 hours for church. That's just too far, you know, to try to get plugged in at something like that. That's our mindset, right? And then you'll have, the whole thing of a whole faith of convenience, a whole faith of I can fit this into my life. And the flip side of this is what's happening with these people, is you've got all of these people that have moved to Jerusalem from all over the known world because of their faith. That was the driving force. I think about that's a big thing that's happened out in Bethel in Redding, California, is you've got all of these people that have moved from all over the world, from all over the United States, simply to be in a community of believers and surround themselves with the presence of God. And they said, you know what, I don't know if I'll have a job or anything like that, but I know I've got to be there. One of my favorite worship leaders right now is Jeremy Riddle. I absolutely love Jeremy Riddle. He is awesome. Just so carries the presence of God so well. And I love his testimony. You know, he comes in, and I've shared this with you before, but I heard Jeremy Riddle speak last year, and he was talking about how they got wound up being at Bethel. And he said, I was a youth minister in Central California. And he said, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't very good. He said, I'd been saved for a long time, but I'd spent all my late teen and early 20 years playing all the bars and nightclubs in L.A. because I wanted to make it in the music scene. And he said, somehow somebody offered me a job as a youth minister, and they shouldn't have because I was in no position to be a youth minister. But he said, I was saved and all of that. And he said, I took the position. And he said, it was just obviously I wasn't flourishing in that. And he said, I'd heard about what was going on at Bethel and all of that. And I told my wife, he said, and they had three kids or four kids at this point, Lori. Four kids at this point. And he said, let's go up for a weekend and let's check this out. because I need something else in my life. I need a change in my life. I need something to happen in my life. And so they went up there, and they got so whacked out with the presence of God that weekend that he told his wife, he said, "We've got to move up here." And so he went back, and his wife was like, "Cool, if that's what we need to do, you know, because we've got to have this." They understood the need for community and presence in their life. And so he came back, he resigned his position, they got in a travel trailer, and I think it was like a 40-foot travel trailer, and he and his wife and four kids lived in a 40-foot travel trailer for like 2 years, just so they could be in the presence and be in the community, in the spiritual community and what was happening up there. Now he's a worldwide worship leader, and everything's, you know, fabulous for him and all of that, career and everything else. But the driving thing was this, is I have got to position myself to the place where I can be in this constant environment of God. And I love the fact that these guys came in and they didn't know anything about Jesus. They weren't disciples of Christ. But they had moved from different parts of the world because of their faith and hope and anticipation that I am going to enrich and deepen and my spiritual life will flourish, and in the hopes that there's a Messiah that's coming. Because that was the prophetic declarations, Old Testament. The Messiah's going to come. And they're like, "Man, I just believe there was a building that I believe that it's getting to be time." And then John the Baptist burst on the scene. And John the Baptist comes out. And he is preaching that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And all of this stuff is happening. And these people had moved and migrated to Jerusalem so they could be around this. And I want us to get this, and I want us to start wrapping our head around the fact, I'm not sitting here and telling anybody, you've got to move to Redding, California, or wherever, to Batesburg, South Carolina, or anything like that. But I am telling you that we need to come in, and proper positioning is not always a geographic move. Sometimes proper positioning is getting yourself out of a place, a position in your life so that you can separate yourself to God. Sometimes it's getting off the couch and away from Sports Center, or out of being wrapped up in this or wrapped up in this and all of that stuff. Because every one of us allow ourselves to get caught up in a thing. We can even be in this house and God moving in a mighty way, but not be positioned properly to even know what's going on. This amazing sense of community that's been happening for the last 2 weeks since all this happened with Jacob and Stephanie and all that God's just been working us. There are people in our body that love Jesus and they love the house and all that stuff, but they're missing what's going on because they're not positioned properly. You guys, man, y'all are engaged. Y'all know what's happening. Y'all feel what God's doing. Y'all feel Sunday morning and all that. I had people talking to me last night about listening. They weren't here Sunday, but listening to the podcast and talking about how powerful it was. One guy was like, my sister-in-law sent it to me. She listened to it. She sent it to me. He said, "I'm listening to it for the second time right now." He said, "Man, that was powerful." I said, "Well, y'all have been here." I mean, it really was powerful. You know, I'm not dogging him for not being here. I'm just saying, if you'd been here, it'd have been even more powerful. You know what I'm saying on that? And so I love the dynamic of a people that have said, "I am going to change my life." And that's what I want us to get tonight, is not necessarily uproot our life, but change our life and change our lifestyle so that we can position ourselves to hear from God, to engage God, to be used by God. And that's what these guys were doing, and they didn't know that this was going to happen. They didn't get the promise from Jesus. They weren't there on the ascension, but they were almost getting it. And this is the dynamic that I love, is you don't have to be the first one to get the revelation. You don't have to be the first one to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if I will position myself in a place around people, then if God's downloading it through them, I want to be close enough that, you know what, I get the residual effect. Psalm 133 talks about how awesome the sense of community is and how awesome Christian community is. And it says it is like the oil that flows down from Aaron's beard. And it said this oil that flows from Aaron's beard, it runs even down to his garments, to the hem of his garments. And what it's saying in this is that when we position ourselves in Christian community, in fellowship with one with another, and the oil begins to flow down off of Aaron or off of, it doesn't have to be me. It can be flowing down off of Lisa Phillips. But flowing down in people that you are connected to, then guess what happens? You get the residual effect. You get this stuff that's engaging in your life. The Lord carried me to Joshua. Y'all remember the story of Joshua in the book of Exodus? Joshua's coming in and what's God's meeting with Moses. But because of Joshua's positioning with Moses, guess who gets to go in with him and show up? Joshua does. And he's so caught up in the presence, Moses, as soon as he gets a word from God, he's going to tell the children of Israel what God's doing or what God says. And Joshua's like, dude, I'm going to hang out here for a while if it's okay with you. I've already heard what he said, but I just want to hang out in this presence. I want to soak this up. He was not the one that got the original invitation, but he was connected to one that did get the invitation. And if we will position ourselves and connect with a person or with a group of people or with a movement of God, I thank God for several years we were connected down at the ramp. We would leave here on Sunday after church and we would drive to Hamilton, Alabama, which is about a 3-hour drive. It's right on the Mississippi line. About three and a half hour. It wasn't three, it was 3.5 hour. 3.5 hour drive. We would get out of church, and we don't have short church services here. You know, Sunday mornings, usually it was short Sunday. Usually if you guys ain't been with us on Sunday mornings, usually it's a good 2 hours. We'd get through. We would catch the drive through at Zaxby's and dig straight out. Go through Birmingham, go right over. We were like 20 miles from Mississippi. And then we would have another 3 or 4 hour church service, and then we would get through with that and we would drive home. But I was so thankful that we were connected with that for several years because it was so powerful. And there was such an amazing move of God. And I never thought, this is too hard. I never come in and said, man, this is... Bill Johnson says revival comes in at extremely high cost, but when you consider what is happening, the cost becomes insignificant. Okay? And so these guys, they uprooted and they moved so they could get in a position in Jerusalem because they knew that Jerusalem was the epicenter and that if something was happening, it was probably going to happen in Jerusalem. Because they were living in Jerusalem, if you were a Jewish male, you were required to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year for the 3 main feasts. But they said, as powerful as that is, I want to dwell there. And so they lived in this place so that even if they weren't the first one to get it, they were close enough to where it happened pretty quickly in their life. Think about this. There was just a delay of just a few minutes in this, or perhaps an hour or so. But they come in and the disciples get filled with the Holy Ghost. It comes in and it fills. It's a rushing mighty wind, which is powerful. The breath of Jesus on the disciples gave them life, but this breath from the Holy Spirit gave them power. And then it says that the pillars of fire sat down on them and tongues sat down on them, each one of them individually. Well, with all this going on, within minutes, all of these people that lived in Jerusalem, they heard what was going on. And it was being noised abroad. Nick talked about the noisers last Wednesday night. And all of them started coming. And guess what happened? Immediately, they were in a position to hear the gospel preached in such a way they'd never heard it. Evidence with stuff that they had never seen. And so 3,000 of them got saved. And it was all because they were properly positioned. Properly positioned. I want you to start thinking in your life about improper positioning. You can break this down into sports analogy if you want to. You can be on the right field, but be out of position. When you're playing football, Nick coaches defense on football. And when you're playing football, if you get beat 90% of the time, it's because you're out of position. Or a good percentage of the time. Maybe not 90%, but a good position. You get beat with a long ball because you let the guy get by you. Right? You don't make a proper tackle because you're not square, you know, you're not proper position. You're not squaring up with a guy or something like this. Maybe he's a little faster than you, so he gets around the corner. So you're trying to arm tackle or something like this. And it all comes down to being in proper position with sports. Every sport, I don't care which one it is. You know, what I'm screwed when it comes to golf because I'll get up on the tee box and I'm wrong right off the bat. You know, I'm sitting here like, this is a softball and I'm going to jerk this down left field line 320 foot. You know what? Nah, that's why it's going off in the trees. And everything in life comes in to, are we properly positioned? to do, to receive, to hear. And I love the fact, I love the dynamic, I'll keep saying this, that these guys were not the first to get the revelation. They were not the first to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they were positioned in a place that it came quickly to them because of where they were. Two places or two people that have absolutely saved my life going beyond Christ Jesus. I'm talking about in a human level, is Bill Johnson and Damon Thompson. Those two men have saved my life. And when I say saved my life, they saved my life from a life of nominal Christianity. They've saved my life from mediocrity. And the reason that they have been able to save my life out of that, and I don't know Bill Johnson personally one bit, and I do Damon, but I don't Bill Johnson. I've never met Bill Johnson. I've been in person and heard him speak. But me and him ain't never sat down and had coffee. But the reason that I can say this man has saved my life is because I positioned myself to receive the oil that was flowing down off of his beard, and I allowed it to flow into my life. You see what we're talking about on this? You're thinking, well, man, I don't know this. You know, I'm just not. You know, I'm not one of the 120. And we use that as an excuse not to receive great things from God and do great things in the kingdom because we say I'm just not one of the inner circle. Have y'all ever thought about Jesus with his 12 disciples? He had 3 in the inner circle and he had 9 other guys. And I don't see anywhere in there where there was this huge thing because Peter, James, and John got to go with him up on the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't see this drama and everybody hating Peter, James, and John. Yeah, one of them's mom came up and said, let one of my sons sit on your right hand and one on the left. You got some of that going on. But there wasn't this big thing going on with them because he says, man, I'm not in the inner circle and all that stuff. That's fine. You can still get the oil. The oil that's on the hem is just as good as the oil that's on the beard because it all flows from the head. And so I want us to get in a place where we understand the essence of proper positioning so that we can receive. A lot of you guys, man, all of you guys, y'all came in and y'all are positioned now, some out of choice and some out of it's a mandatory thing that, you know, I got to be there or else. But you come into a place and now you're positioned where you can receive some powerful, awesome things from God in your life. Not just, this has got to go way deeper than I'm getting clean. Because I guarantee you, you can be clean and a month from now you won't be clean. How long does it take to get clean? Just a few days and it's out of your system, right? For the most part. So it's not hard getting you clean. I can lock you in a room and you can get clean in a week or two. Throw some food in there and say, just deal with it, buddy, and all that stuff. This is about taking you to deeper places. This is about bringing you into a lifestyle where you say, I am properly positioned now to receive from the kingdom of heaven. And I'm properly positioned in life now where I can pour out and minister to others and be more than just functional with my family and all of that stuff. But I'm in a place now, man, where I can just, and it's about being positioned. And if you will position, and you guys have positioned yourself, or something's positioned you, because you're in the Blake house. But if you come in now and you're positioned right, but your posture's wrong, and you're like, man, I hate this place, and it stinks, and there are too many rules, and they won't even let me dip, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I don't get any TV and all that stuff, and then your posture's bad, then your position's not going to do you any good. But if you'll get proper position and then get proper posture, you know what? It sets you up for amazing success. And that's true in all of our lives. We come into this place on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We can come in and we can be here and we can be positioned right but not postured right and we won't receive anything. But I really want to tonight, I want us to focus not on the posture part, but I want us to focus on the position and how are we positioning ourselves? How are we positioning ourselves? How are we positioning ourselves in life? Every time I decide I want to read a book, you know what I do? I position myself properly to receive something. I mean, it can be that simple. It doesn't have to be just geographic. Sometimes it is geography. And I've been in real intentional about my faith. God put a mandate on me a couple years ago to start investing in my faith. Because I'll invest in other areas of my life. I'll fly to the Caribbean and scuba dive, and I'll fly out to Colorado and ski or Utah and ski, and I'll invest in those things. Man, I'll go all around the world and hunt stuff and all of that. And God said, what are you investing in your spiritual life? I mean, we do it. We invest every break we get. We go invest and go to the weekend. I mean, go to the beach or go to the mountains or something like that. And I'm not saying those aren't well-deserved breaks. Knock yourself out. But if you position yourself well for a weekend at the beach, but you don't position yourself well for spiritual advancement and spiritual growth, you're an idiot. Do both. And maybe while you're at the beach, you can position yourself for spiritual growth and advancement. Okay? So I want to challenge you on that. And you say, well, man, I ain't one of the inner circle, and I'm not one of the, you know, one of the 120 and all that stuff. That's fine. Just position yourself around somebody that is a trailblazer. Position yourself around somebody that is a pioneer. Position yourself around somebody that can come in, and if the oil's flowing off of them, I don't want to position myself around somebody, and I wouldn't trade lives with them. You know, as far as trade my marriage and all of that stuff, I'm going to position myself around somebody that's like, man, they're stellar. Lou Engle's one of those guys. I don't know how much I don't know if me and Lou have anything in common at all other than faith. But daggone, every time I get around that joker, man, it's just, I feel an impartation. And I don't care if it's in a stadium of 70,000 people or a room with 300 people. You know, man, I just feel I see myself and I start rocking. You know? If you've ever seen Lou Engle, he rocks. He's one of the most powerful spiritual giants in the world. And I want to position myself around people like that. Because I can get this stuff coming off of... I can get a Peter that says, dude, this is what's going on. And then I'll be like, man, I'll receive that. And then he releases in. I want to contrast something, and then I'm going to open it up. We can keep spinning this thing and kicking this thing and all of this stuff. And I'm going to give you a real life what's happening right now. Let me do that, and then we'll contrast something. You know what's happening? Y'all hear me talk about Hope Chapel and Brother Damon and all of that stuff. It is a church that is not any bigger than our church. There are... on a Sunday morning, maybe 200 people there. No bigger than our church. When Damon first went there and started God planting him there and all of that stuff, and Johnson's the pastor, Damon's the apostle and the prophet that sits in the house, that's planted in the house and all that stuff. You know how many people that were there that lived in Batesburg or are part of that church right now? Less than 10. But there's been about 200 people move in from 20 different states. From California and from Oregon and from Montana and from Georgia and all of these other places. Because they said, I want to position myself and connect to a move of God. And you say, well, man, that's just trading, you know, coming from here to here and all that stuff. I think the last time I was up there, they told me that how many podcast downloads do they have every month? It's like 100,000 a month, something ridiculous, more than that, more than 100,000 podcast downloads per month. Wrap your head around that. That's impacting big time. You say, you preaching to 200 people this weekend at the revival, there'll be at least twice that many people there. You'll be glad you're positioned with your spiritual dad, because we'll have reserved seats on the second row, so it'll be a good positioning on that. But what I'm saying on this, guys, is there are a group of people, and they have positioned themselves to come in to be a part of something that is spectacular. And you know what happens off of that? It builds on it. Did they come because God was moving? Or did God move because they came? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. I want to... Let's read something right quick. Y'all turn to Acts 4. Acts 4. Hold that thought. I just said that. That's my wife. Good night. Ooh, I'm going to call her out. Acts 4. All right, let's start in verse 29. We've had the healing at the gate called Beautiful of the Lame Man. They have taken Peter and John and they have arrested them. They call them in before the spiritual leaders of the Jews, the council, and they're like, man, what do we do with these guys? You know, they didn't know what to do with them because a great miracle had been done. All of these people had seen that. And so they threatened them. I don't know if this instance, if they beat them. In other cases, they did beat them, but they threatened them. The word doesn't specifically say that they whipped them or anything like that. It just said that they were threatened. And they went back into their group, the community of believers, and that's where we are in verse 29. And when they get back in, they start praying, and they say, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 32, that's powerful, right? Amen. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. In Acts 2, when it's talking about the disciples, the apostles, it said that they performed many signs and wonders and miracles were done at their hand. Then it talks about great grace was upon all of them. Then it says 34, 35, 36, 37, it talked about how neither was there any among them that lacked. And it talked about how everybody had things that if she had need, we met her need. If I had need, you met my need. There was, just like you guys have been doing with Jacob and Stephanie for the last 10 days. But you come in here and you see this beautiful picture of Christian community, and you see this beautiful picture of the power of the gospel. And so it attracts people. In Acts 2, it says that they fellowshiped every day. They were in the temple constantly. They fellowshiped, they broke bread together every day, and it said, and souls were added to them each day, such as were saved. So you've got this growing organism, this very organic, in this first century church. It's not, oh, we're going to set up all these life groups, and we're going to do this and this and this. It's organic in what's happening. And my question to you, we see the beauty and the power in this, was the movement of God the thing that attracted the people in? Or was the movement of God a result of the positioning of the people? See what I'm talking about on this? Yes. When we gather together, we're going up to South Carolina Saturday, and we're going to revival services Saturday night. I still hadn't figured out the logistics of being here Sunday morning and all of that stuff. We may leave at 6 a.m. up there and be here at 10 a.m. and be ready to rock and roll. I'm going because there's a connection there with me, and that's home to me, just like this is home to me, okay? It feels the same, that's just on steroids. The reason that's on steroids is because you've got 200 people that have moved in from 30 states. So you know what that does? That attracts the power of God. Their worship's not any better than our worship. Preaching's up a few notches. The worship's not any better. The people are not any better. The people have just paid such a price to position themselves. They have said, we're going to come in, and I am giving up career. I'm giving up. You got cats that are professionals, and they're you know, I mean, like college degrees and all of this stuff, and they have put their career totally on hold and come in just so they can surround themselves with the presence of God and live in Christian community. So you know what that does? That attracts the promises of God. That attracts the power of God. God says, boy, this stirs heaven, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm releasing heaven into that. What have I been saying lately? That if our gift does not stir us, it will not stir heaven. But when it stirs us, Nick, then it's going to stir heaven. And so you've got this thing bouncing back and forth of people that are positioning themselves properly before God. And so God is pouring into that, and then that blows them up, so they pour back into God. So you got this thing bouncing back and forth. I mean, we can talk about some science stuff and some atoms and all of this stuff. You know, it's kind of like a nuclear reaction going on in a spiritual sense. And Jessica's your science teacher, aren't you? Jessica, roll with that right there. But what does that do? It creates energy and it creates heat. And that's what's going on in this. I see it in the book of Acts. You've got all of these people coming in and they're saying, my gosh, I'm here because of my faith, but this put me in a position because I positioned myself properly. Now I'm in a place I can go so much deeper with God. Now I'm in a place where I can go so much deeper in Christian community. Now I'm in a place where I can impact the world. Whereas beforehand, I'll be honest with you guys, I'm tired of talking about one of these days God's going to pour out His Spirit. One of these days we're going to have revival. I choose to have revival right now. Me and Lord made up our mind a couple years ago, we're going to have revival in our life. I hope y'all join us. But I am. I'm going there. We're living there right now in a place of abundance and all of that stuff. And I want everybody else to latch on and say, man, let's go for this thing. Let's go for it hard. And it doesn't have to be some way out thing. It can be simply, let's do community Christian life together and be pursuers and chasers of God. Let's be a Joshua that says, man, I love His presence. Instead of coming in and say, I showed up at church today. Blows my mind, people. They'll come to one certain church service a month and wonder why God's not wrecking their world. And I'm like, come on, guys. And I see these guys so positioning themselves. Let me contrast something for you. Y'all turn to Acts 19. Acts 19. We'll start in verse 1. I promise I'm going to open it up for comments when I finish these 7 verses. Acts 19, verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. I look at this picture here, and I'm kind of wow about this. This happened in A.D. 54. Acts 2 happened in A.D. 33. 21 years later. When was John doing his ministry? 22, 23 years earlier, because he got killed before Jesus was crucified. So they had been disciples for over 20 years, but because of poor positioning, they had not advanced in their faith, even to the point of salvation. They were baptized with a baptism of repentance. They believed on the message that the kingdom of God is going to come. They were so devout in it that when he saw them, they recognized and said, these guys were disciples. So it wasn't like after 3 weeks together, like, oh, really, man? I didn't know. Y'all used to follow John the Baptist out in the wilderness and all this stuff. Somewhere along the way, there was a unpositioning of these guys to where they weren't in a place to receive Christ or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a lack of faith, I don't feel like, because as soon as they heard the message of Christ, they immediately got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. But it was a thing that they were not in position to properly. God had to get me out of mainline denomination. I'm sorry, He did. And I was a pastor. And He had to get me out of mainline denomination because I was not positioned where I needed to be positioned. I wanted to go to Christ's Fellowship and hang out with some friends because I was got burnt in church some and I was tired of pastoring and said, I'm just going to go hang out with Scott and Deanna Kaiser at Christ's Fellowship because everything's got some good stuff happening down there and all of that. And God's like, I don't think so. I want to position you somewhere else. I got a low cleaners in Bremen I want to position you with a group of people. That's how Victory Fellowship got started. Because God said, I want to position you right here. You see this gap with these folks, 20-year gap with these people, because they weren't positioned properly. It wasn't a lack of faith. It wasn't that they were not good people and all that stuff. They were immediately recognized as disciples. But because they weren't positioned, they were not in a place to hear what? Number one, the gospel of Christ, and number two, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what burns in me big time? I mean burns in a good way, not in a negative way, big time. I want to take people that have not been exposed to intimate worship, and I want to kidnap them. I do. I want to kidnap them, and I want to carry them to some type of a Bethel or Elevation or South Carolina and say, man, let me kidnap you for 48 hours, and I want to expose you to what it can be like, to what God wants it to be like. Now I do, man. It just burns in me. I want to just kidnap folks and say, come here, man, let me expose you to something, you know. Let me carry you here. Let me bring you into this place. Because it's all about positioning. And the cool thing about it, guys, is when we get hungry, it feeds on itself. So it does not have to be geography. You know where I'm going in September? I'm going to the Microsoft Theater in September for 3 days. You know what they have in the Microsoft Theater? Concerts and ESPY Awards and all of that stuff and everything. So it's not the holy grail of this is Jerusalem and we're going to be on the west wall wailing and praying and all of this stuff. We're going to a secular place. But because I'll be joined with 7,000 other people from 30 or 40 other countries, all of a sudden it turns into a holy place because we position ourselves together. And you know what? Heaven responds to that. So we can do the same thing in Bremen, Georgia. We can do the same thing in Victory Fellowship Church. You get a bunch of young couples come in and get on fire for God. And it will so attract God that He will blow this place up. I'm serious. I'm praying for an outpouring right now on some of these young couples that's God's just. I am. On Lee and Brett and Errol and Rhett, Nick and Jamie, Nick and Amanda and Marvin, and Jacob and Stephanie. You know, I hope it starts. TW, no offense to us, because we're gonna be on fire too. But I hope it starts with these guys that are a little bit younger and fresher and coming in behind us. And then if there's just a, I hope y'all get so wrecked on the Holy Ghost. That man, people at school just watch y'all burn. That they're just like, my gosh. And I hope it's contagious. Because there's a couple that sits with y'all on Sunday mornings. I don't even know if you guys know them or if y'all talk to them any or not. And I pray that they would just get on that same fire. And it would just begin to spread. And this thing, this tragedy that's going on with Jacob and Stephanie, that would be the most amazing spiritual encounter that they've ever had with God. And it would just catch them so on fire for not only kingdom life, but community life. And we see this thing just catch up wildfire. And you know what? I'm cool if I'm not the flashpoint. Because if that gets on fire, you know what happens? We're going to burn too, brother. Because I position myself around this. I position myself around this. I want to kind of usher it in. I might be on the guy on the corner slinging a little bit. Y'all get to try some of this. Right? First one's free. Y'all come in and get the residual. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all laughing. Y'all have been there, done that. But I guarantee you this is better than heroin. Better than coke. I don't know nothing about heroin, but I've snorted some lines of coke. And it pales in comparison to this. pales in comparison. So that's just my heart. And that's what God spoke to me. He said there were a bunch of people that weren't the first to get it, but they positioned themselves so that they did get it. There was 3,000 souls that got on fire because of what happened in 120. And we may not be the first, but we can be the first in Bremen. I might not be the first. Jeff, you might not be the first, but you can be the first in the Philippines. Fresh wave, a fresh fire. I pray you get some stuff on you this summer that you take back with you when you go back in August or September. I know it's kind of up in the air when you're going back. I pray you get so much stuff on you and you go back and they're like, my gosh, where have you been? And it doesn't have to do with... There's even debate on the upper room. Some scholars will say that they were actually in the temple celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. How cool would that be? I know they went to the upper room and they spent 10 days in the upper room fasting and praying. But a lot of scholars say they pulled and went to, you know, just on some of the Aramaic translations. Doesn't matter. What matters is that there were 120 souls that got on fire, and immediately after that, 3,000 got on fire. And then you go in a few weeks later, a few days later, over here in Acts 4 and Acts 5, and Peter and John are going in the temple, and all of a sudden this cat gets healed, and he preaches the gospel again, and you got 4,000 people that get saved off of that. And then they get threatened, and they go out, and they start praying, and they all get baptized in the Holy Ghost again. See how it feeds on itself? Instead of a slippery slope down, it is an ascending ladder that is glorious. So I just want to challenge you on positioning yourself. How are you positioned? How are you positioned? How are you positioned? And if you'll position yourself to receive from God, then that will begin to attract Him and attract His promises. It will. It will. It will. Anybody got any comments? Y'all jump in. What time is it, somebody? What time is it, Will? We got 5 minutes. Go for it, brother. Here you go.
I might make it 5 minutes. I'll do my best. What God kind of spoke to me as soon as you brought this up about 40 minutes ago is there's a difference between positioning and alignment. Alignment was the word that I kept hearing over and over in my spirit, especially when you brought in sports and those things. Everyone has a position, but it is the alignment that makes that position fully functional. Okay, I don't know if this will make sense in just a minute. Anybody, I'm going back with sports, anybody can be a linebacker, anybody can be a tight end, anybody. But when you're properly aligned is what makes that position functional. It makes its highest output the best, okay? And so to be properly aligned, you either have to know one of two things. You either have to know where you're supposed to be aligned before this play, before you go, or you got to be beside the cat that does know where to properly position you, okay? If you don't know what you're doing, if you're a young buck, if you're out there because you're talented, somebody may need to move you over because you're in the wrong spot. So I think that may be the challenge tonight. Number one, find out positionally where God wants you to be. Number two, find out how to get in proper alignment with that, whether that be you learning from God or whether that be you finding someone that's Aaron's beard and him saying, no, here, get right there. That's where you need to be. So find out your position with God and then get properly aligned.
That's good. That's right, brother. That's right. Because you can be in the right position, but if you lined up in the wrong gap, you ain't going to make the play. You know, all you football guys out there. Anybody else? Anybody? Lori? Good. All right. Everybody good? Okay. I'm not going to go any further. If I go any further, we'll be another 15 minutes, and then I'll be, instead of being 2 minutes early, we'll be 15 minutes late, and the nursery workers wouldn't like that. Look at your life and look at the pattern of your life and ask yourself. I'm not telling you if you've got to move anywhere. I'm not telling you it's got to be a geographic thing. It might be a geographic thing, and I'm not saying moving thing. I'm talking about a geographic thing from a standpoint of exposing yourself to some stuff. Stretch yourself on some of these things. I don't want us to be a bunch of conference junkies, but let's get outside the box somewhat. Let's experience some things.
and the conferences and all these things we're talking about, don't think, well, I can't get there. I can't go there. God promises, you draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. That can be in my bedroom tonight. That can be here right now. That is the position, and that's all He asks of us. He doesn't ask us to do all these things. It may be that you can, but it may be that you can't. It doesn't matter. It just says, draw nigh to me and I'll come to you. That's the position we got to look for tonight.
And sometimes that's shutting down all of the noise that's going on and saying, you know what, I'm going to sit on my back porch with the Bible and my notebook, and I'm going to spend time with God. Or I'm going to sit down and I'm going to take 30 minutes and I'm going to listen to a podcast of somebody. You don't have to fly across the country to do that. You can do that in your... But it's about positioning. It's about positioning. All right? If everybody's good, let's stand up. I bet in Acts 19 in AD 54 at Ephesus, these guys had been diligent disciples for 20 years. And after they got saved and baptized with the baptism of Christ and baptized in the Holy Ghost, I bet they were like, man, why didn't I find that out 20 years ago? Why didn't I find out 20 years ago? Don't wait until you're 50. Don't wait until you're in heaven. Tonight's not a matter. We're not preaching heaven and hell tonight. We're not preaching saved and lost tonight. This is a message to you guys that are believers. And as a believer, how am I positioning myself? Secondary is good. Secondary is good, man. You've got to set yourself up for that, okay? Set yourself up for that. Hey, man, I don't know. One announcement? Okay. Okay.
Just one announcement for positioning. Tomorrow night, ladies, we're going to have our ladies' meeting, and unless the Lord changes, I'm going to be teaching on how to have sustaining peace in our lives. And we'll have some stuff afterwards. We're going to have refreshments afterwards, and we're just going to spend time loving on each other. But doing that, dads, we need you to pitch in and position your wife to be able to come tomorrow night to be here. So that's it.
We set each other up for success. You do it with your kids. You set your kids up for success. Sure you do. Let's set each other up. So, guys, take care of your wives and make it where they can come out tonight. You will appreciate it because you'll get the residual benefit from that. It'll come back to you. So do that. Ladies, I know y'all are going to have an awesome evening tomorrow night. Can somebody record that? Can somebody record the teaching? Let's record the teaching at least. I would like to hear the teaching. And I'll... The laying in the floor, I'll give that to y'all, but the teaching, yeah. Shine, if you could just cut it on and do the teaching for us. All right, awesome, thank you. Well, let's, I don't know how you need to respond, but man, let's just do Christian community and Christian life and do it better than we've done it in the past and do it with more passion than we've done it in the past. And as a father, and I'm not talking about father of the house, I'm talking about as a father and a covering for my wife, I feel a real strong sense of responsibility that I have got a wife that's under my umbrella. I've got two daughters and two son-in-laws that are under my umbrella. I've got five grandchildren that are under my umbrella. And I take it very seriously that as I position myself, has a lot to do with how much oil flows down from me on them. I don't want her to be out on her own and say, man, I got it because I don't have any. So just think about that. Just think about that. All right. Father, we come to you and we thank you for today. We thank you for the word. Lord, we just thank you for all the amazing stories and the dynamics that we see in your word. I thank you for Acts 2 and everything that's encompassed. And we just touched one little small fragment of it. But I pray that it would take hold in each of our lives and that we would position ourselves before you, Father, so that we can receive and so that we can, God, be able to reciprocate that back to you. And I just pray for each person in here, God, just stir and move and do the work in them that you desire to do, and just burn in us. We love you and we lift you up. I pray in advance for the ladies' meeting tomorrow night, and I pray that they would just have a powerful, powerful evening together. Holy Spirit, I pray you just so fill this place with your glorious presence. And just activate some things and let there be Genesis moments in the ladies of the house. And so we just we celebrate that and thank you for that ahead of time. And Lord, as we mentioned earlier, I lift up Jacob and Stephanie, and I lift up Brother Kenny and just touch them, minister to them, be with all the other needs in the house. You know those, Father, and I pray you just touch and move in them. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. If you need to come to the altar's open. If you want to take communion, one thing I find it interesting when it talked about the first century church, it talks about how they took communion together all the time. You see, it says that constantly they're taking communion together, so it was significant. So let's that's open to us too.